Good afternoon. Today is Friday, October the 26th, 300th day. It's that day. It's the 300th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, simple country therapist and known quoter.
Just happy to be here. Yeah. What can I tell you?
Yeah, remember you said that the first time?
No, I don't remember.
Neither do I.
It's been a few years.
Should probably have recorded it, or at least made note of it.
It's been years, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, earlier this week when Jill Duffy said that she was leaving the community comment, 3 years. So, wait a minute. That couldn't have been 3 years. That must have been about 6 months ago.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of time compression. That's what I'm attributing it to. Not faulty memory.
I don't remember when we started. Do you?
No idea. I know when the show started, but not any individual anymore. However, that's not going to be the theme of this program. We're going to try to pick it up a little bit and talk about whining and worrying.
I have a quote for that.
The two W's. Okay, good. Well, we'll all anxiously await and then return.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of The Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:13. Fine Friday that it is. Joining us this afternoon is simple country therapist Lou Quimby and his anticipated quote.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is from Marion Smith, who I do not know, nor can I attribute anything except. She says, the trouble with the 1980s as compared to the 1970s is that teenagers no longer rebel and leave home. Yeah. And a lot of kids, after they get their master's degree and find they can't get a job, come back home.
They just rebel. They don't leave.
They just come back home. Yeah. Mom, I'm home. No job prospects. Got a master's in nuclear physics or whatever.
I had a buddy that a lot of folks would know who had someone apply for a job at their place, had a master's in business.
Yeah.
Was flipping hamburgers.
Yeah.
And that doing what it needed to be done to make it happen, keep NCA,
yeah,
but not obviously maximizing his talents.
Right, and of course there's PhDs and all sorts of things that are flipping hamburgers.
But doing what it takes.
But doing what it takes, right.
And that was the thing that got him excited was, okay, if somebody's willing to flip hamburgers with an MBA to make it happen.
To make it happen.
There's somebody they wanted on the team.
That's right.
And it's just simple stuff.
That's the kind of discipline you want when you're looking for somebody. So if you're looking for an MBA, start cruising the food, the hamburger
food court,
joints.
Yeah.
Anybody here with an MBA? Yeah. Come with me.
Yeah, it was my big what?
That's right.
As people get all torqued about worry and stress, and I kind of link them together a little bit.
Do you?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Do you?
Sometimes.
Okay. How do you learn to live in the moment? That was one of the things I read a book. It was about the FBI.
Remember
and
then.
One of the things they teach the people going through the Academy of Quantico is live in the moment. Don't project. Don't remember. It's now. Now is what counts.
Well, now is always based on the
well, for survival purposes and stuff.
What's the survival purpose?
Well, if the FBI, if you're in an FBI situation and it's a really fluid and volatile situation, absorb now. Don't.
Well, that there's a lot of truth to that. Yeah,
that's what the reference.
But you have to pay attention to what now is based upon.
Yesterday,
if you're in a
experience,
if you're in a sniper situation, now is based on a lot of knowledge about what that structure generates.
So most relationships are not involving snipers, guns,
true,
ammunition at airspeed.
But they do involve past, present, and future.
Yeah. So how do we how do we learn from our brothers and sisters at the FBI? You like that?
And how did the FBI, how did Quantico get into this all of a sudden? Where have you
I'll
been?
I'll give you the book.
What are you doing? Oh, you're reading a book.
Yeah, I read the book.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
What's the book called?
Quantico and You.
No, something about the FBI. It was just talking about how the FBI has evolved and the different directors and their areas of emphasis and how to train. One of the later ones was dealing with terrorism.
Right.
And one of those elements within that was teaching the new recruits now at Quantico to live in the, to focus on the present, see what's going on, deal with now.
Is there another way to do that?
Well, I don't know. I'm not there. I'm sure there's more elements.
Well,
to
I'm thinking about why would they do that as opposed to something else? There must have been something that happened. Either that or they hired somebody who had a good idea.
Yeah.
This often happens too, you know. What do you want to change? Nothing. Just change something. Don't stand there and do nothing. Just change something.
Do something, to justify yourself, yeah. But I would suggest a lot of worry is projecting into the future.
Correct. Well, you know me. I'm a TA person, and so I look at personality as composed of those three parts, parent, adult, and child. And I say that worry is a parent substitute for thought and planning. Now, if you got teenage kids and not doing well in school, you're going to worry about their future. Now, if they don't rebel and they don't leave home, and they're getting...
You say that as being child-free with a certain glint in your eye.
Oh, I do, yes, indeed. And they're getting D's and F's. Well, you got a here and now and a there and then to think about. If all you do is worry about it, then you wring your hands and do nothing. Well, doing nothing is a recipe for anxiety.
Does action...
When anxiety resides in the child, of course, and then you get the other spinoff, which is the whining.
There you go, the hook, yes. Is activity, is doing something a good way to deal with worry if you don't know what to do?
Remember that old religious thing, idle hands of the devil's workshop. What happens when people get busy doing something? Cleaning, polishing, washing, working, doing reports, whatnot. It gives them a chance to refocus their energies onto something else.
You are so good.
And in the meantime...
Talking about refocusing.
Yes.
Because we'll have a break and we can refocus the discussion.
Oh, right now?
You're too good.
Break.
Yes.
Bye.
Okay. It's 3:19.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back.
Refocused.
With Lou Quimby. Okay.
So when people are doing something to accomplish something, i.e. being productive, then they will always have in the back of their mind, say, those teenage kids who are not performing well. And they're thinking, gee, are they going to live at home for the next 10 years after they're 18? So they multitask. They get the job done and they think about things as they're doing it. If they don't think about them, which means making plans, then they're going to worry, which is a circular, get-nowhere internal occupation. Same as whining. Now, worry is what people often do in their head. Whining is what they do verbally.
Really? I thought worry was in the gut rather than the head. At least that's where I have experienced it. Well, the knotted stomach.
But you don't talk about it. It's internal, pretty much. Worry.
Okay, internalized.
Worry is
okay.
Pretty much internalized. Okay. Know? Whereas whining is externalized. And then people go, I don't know what to do. This is so terrible. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me.
Don't a good majority of people who know how to deal with worry and work through it and see it as a normal, at that point, instead of the whine, reach out?
Most people?
To peers.
Where did you get that idea?
No, I'm saying most people who are able to process worry as a normal.
Oh, all right.
At that point, don't they reach out to others and say, here's my situation, how'd you deal with it?
That's correct.
Normalize
they
it.
They do an action plan of some sort. I'm going around in circles here. Bill, what do you think's going on here? What did you do when your teenagers, blah, 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 right? And they go around, they ask 10 people, and they get 10 ideas, and they sort those down into their own particular style of dealing with teenagers, and they use two or three of them to deal with the teenagers. Rebelling and not doing their schoolwork or whatever. Part of which involves what's the kid thinking, what are their goals and dreams, and why are they worried? And you remember back in the nuclear, because you and I are both a little older, back in the days of, a drop, duck, and cover for a nuclear attack? Well, I always remember that nuclear fire drill. Bend over and kiss your ass goodbye, right?
Yeah, right.
Because drop, duck, and cover under a desk isn't going to do a damn thing for a nuclear strike.
That was more of the earthquake drill.
But it is something that gives people something to do and something to think about and a specific behavioral plan, which binds anxiety. Because the anxiety about a nuclear attack was very, very high. You remember the people that built bomb shelters in their backyards and all like that?
Well, we saw the Y2K thing, too.
Yeah, right. So people do something tangible.
Sorry to contemporize it buddy.
Quite all right. People do something tangible to bind their anxiety. And sometimes it's futile, and sometimes it's valuable. So I was thinking about that as I got older. I was thinking about my early days with being afraid of nuclear war. And then as I began to read more and more and more about what's going on in the country, I realized that nuclear war, even though we came close in Cuba and all that, but nuclear war is really not a major factor. I'm concerned about we're going to poison ourselves as a culture and as a world, right? So if you look at the water tables in the Ogallala Aquifer being drained out, and all the chemicals in the Big Valley in California.
The Central Valley in California.
And all of the pesticides and all the other stuff that's being washed into the rivers and the ocean, and then all the stuff also sinks into the ground, and then it comes up again when they dig wells for water and whatnot. And then all the stuff that we get in our foods and all the additives and there's an interesting erosive and kind of diminishing effect of all that that's very slowly having some effect. Now, that's interesting about the very slow erosion of chemicals as opposed to a nuclear war. Nuclear war is easy. Build a bomb shelter, put in a couple of cases of beans, and do the best you can. But I've always, even as a kid, I wondered, well, so you build a bomb shelter, and you got all this stuff in the air, like alpha particles on the dust and whatnot, and beta particles, and how do you get air in a bomb shelter? How do you get clean air in a bomb shelter? Bend over and kiss your bottom goodbye, right?
So you can get all worked up about that.
When people can get all worked up about that, and you cannot go around being anxious for long, long periods of time without it having an effect on your body. Like you're mentioning, stomach aches, headaches, people develop rashes and giant hives. And, the worst case is they just start twitching all over the place.
Stroking out.
So people need to bind their anxiety. And so people often develop simple solutions for complex problems. Smack them. As though that's going to teach a kid something, right? About discipline. Is it time for another break?
Yeah, it is.
Break time.
KINS News. Oh, you're not going to do the IQ on this one. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Now enter the sunshine for Humboldt. The Ferndale Repertory Theater will soon begin another season. Between October and next July, they'll present 6 shows, a mixture of musicals, comedies, and drama. The season begins October 5th with In the Next Room, a comedy about a 19th century doctor and the women he treats. After that comes the tuneful Broadway hit Annie. Another great favorite, Hello Dolly, will be on the Ferndale stage next spring. Songs for a New World, a musical exploration of life's emotions, will play early next year. And the summer will feature Boeing Boeing, about an American living in Paris who juggles 3 fiancés, all of whom are airline flight attendants. The finale is Victor Victoria, about a down-on-her-luck singer who takes a role to play a woman playing a man who plays a woman. Sound confusing? It is, and it's hilarious. For information, see the Ferndale Rep's website, ferndalerep.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of self-discipline, if everything else that we tend to learn as youngsters is through emulation, through personal experience, through mentors.
It's 3 ways that kids learn: modeling, instruction, and reinforcement.
I got all, so but I didn't get the last one yet.
But you're talking about modeling and instruction, right?
How do you get to a spot where you feel comfortable that this is what you want, and then you can start doing that self-reinforcement? I'm thinking of these folks that single-parent families.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not a father, you know, and you got a male. Okay, so who does he pattern after? Is it crazy Uncle Ed?
Well,
is it silly Lou, the neighbor? Is it mom? How do they find and then reinforce?
People are growing until they die, so that people's needs change on a regular basis with their growth, their sociological situation, their family situation. So with kids, they start with mom and dad, and then it's family members, aunt, uncle, grandparents, and then they go to school. Then they start learning from teachers about different things. They're learning from other kids on the playground about different things. And then they go to their friend's house and they learn from their parents about stuff. When they learn a thing, it doesn't mean it has value. If they learn prejudice from one of their boyfriend's parents over dinner, that may be interesting, but it's not going to add value. It can be a problem. So how do they find out about that? Either they go mouth off in school and they find themselves in the principal's office, or they come home after that dinner, that sleepover, and they say, Mom, Dad, Billy's dad said blah, 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 blah. What does that mean? And then Mom and Dad say, well, it's true, son. Well, now the kid's got prejudice enforced by his boyfriend's parents and his own parents. So he's going to go out and either swim upstream for the rest of his life about that, or he's going to go out and get burned until he finds out that prejudice is a dead-end street. Now, he can learn that at 8 or 15 or 21, or he can learn it in the Army. He can learn it at college, or he cannot learn it at all. I've seen people 65 who are just L-O-C-K-E-D, period. There's absolutely no room to question any of their beliefs, period. And in that case, then there's no room about that. If they come in for therapy around a problem generated by a belief, and they have to examine the belief, it's not going to happen. It's a dead-end street. It's a cul-de-sac. They go drive down it, and they go round and round and round and round. So they don't last that long. So most of the time what happens is when people learn that what they thought they picked up is not really functional, they discard it in favor of something else. Because there are a number of false beliefs that the people discard once it's pointed out to them that it doesn't work. If you loved me, you would know what I want, was an interesting false belief. That what that means is if you loved me, you'd read my mind. That's not going to happen. So if you loved me, you'd know what I want, hooks up with somebody who's eager to please, then it's bigger, better, longer, stronger, faster, nicer, more sex, more food, keep the kids quiet, don't make waves, stay out of trouble. A super effort. And that lasts for anywhere from 3 to 7 years until they get exhausted. Then they get really angry after they've done everything they think could be done. So that's why I encourage people to say what you want. Say it in words. You may not get it, but the clarity of, I want blah, blah, blah. Can I have that? No. Then you do next. As opposed to maneuvering all the time, hustling and lying, cheating, and stealing to get what you want. That can go on for years. It's very frustrating. So if you operate with integrity, you say what you want. And if you do it early in a relationship, before you get married, you can determine to some extent your future happiness. But if you make a baby before you know who the other person is, very problematic.
I've heard you say in the past about having a list.
A list, you betcha.
The do's, the gotta-haves.
Yeah. The have-tos, the nice-tos, and the want-tos.
For a prospective spouse.
Yeah. Somebody comes in with their picker broken, so I say, what do you want in a partner? Well, I want A, B, C, D. I got a list of 10 things I want. I say, good, bring it in. Let me see it. And they bring in this list, and then I say, okay, do you do number one? Well, no. Do you do number two and three and seven and nine? No. What do you do? I do 4 and 8. But they want these other 8 things, but they don't. So that's one of the secrets about integrity is you must deliver what you require. And if you don't deliver what you require, it's going to be hinky-dinky, out of balance, off-center. It's going to fall over of its own weight. Because if you don't deliver what you require, you're lying, cheating, stealing, hustling, and maneuvering. And that adds a lot of interest and drama, but not stability, not satisfaction, not serenity, not comfort, not joy.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Verizon Wireless is continuing to do some technical work on one of their towers in southern Humboldt. For the safety of the workers, Verizon has asked KEKA to reduce the operating power of the radio station through this Wednesday. At the 101.5 dial position, we will have reduced our broadcast power. 100.9 and 104.5 are unaffected by this work. When the project is completed, your Verizon Wireless will be enhanced in areas within southern Humboldt County. We appreciate your indulgence as we work with our neighbors to get this work accomplished in the easiest way we can. Thank you again for your patience.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347, final segment of the week. Lou Quimby's alongside. Lou, before the break, you were talking about popcorn, soda pop, and talking to your
kids'
buddies. So right. How do you do it in nibbles and not tidal wave you're carrying around this anxiety?
Yeah, if you're worried about your kids' moral, social, and ethical development, which parents are, what people do, the intermediate step, the ordinary everyday step, is they whine and they complain. And that way they ventilate their feelings about something. Nothing has changed, but their feelings are out and gone. So a little ain't it awful a day is useful. A lot of ain't it awful a day.
Nobody wants to be around you.
Nobody wants to be around you. So a little complaining here and there is fine. But if you hear people complaining about something, and you say, is that a problem? Oh, yeah. Do you want to fix it? Oh, yeah. What have you considered as solutions? Well, I don't know. Have you asked anybody what they've done? No. So they're stuck in this endless loop that goes nowhere. It's a big circle. So if something is a problem, and parents worry about things that are real problems. Children's health, children's education, children's social friends. So if I talk to parents about the children's social friends, and they go, well, I don't know, they're hanging around with a bad crowd. Well, have you ever called the parents of somebody's kids and invited them to come over for dinner? No, why would I do that? Well, or, you know, do you invite your kids' friends after school for cookies and milk or whatever? Or do you invite your children's friends over for a movie and popcorn and, right? So you get them together. And then if you get your kids and their friends together, you can talk a little bit. But at least they're together. You don't have this big separation between the anxiety of not knowing who your kids' friends are and what they're like and what they do. And it's often very surprising for parents when they get their kids' friends together after school, and they turn out they're not that spiky-haired, weird, strange drug pusher they thought they might be. You know, they're like ordinary kids, after all. Then when you talk to your friends' kids, then there's the issue of what do you talk about? Then you want to know what's going on in their head. Well, socially, kids get together and hang around. They shoot the bull, and they're all the time looking at each other and feeling each other out and making assessments without always asking the questions. So I say when you got the kids' friends over, maybe for dinner, dinner's a nice captive audience, you can always ask interesting questions. Like, hey, what do you boys and girls, how do you evaluate what makes a good friend? Then there's a big silence at the table.
Why? The quality of their parents, of course.
Then there's a big silence at the table. And then you got to feed things in. Like, well, is truthfulness part of being a good friend? Well, a lot of people are afraid of asking simple questions like that. What makes a good friend?
Afraid or uncomfortable? Or just don't...
Same difference.
Think about it.
They're afraid of the consequences. That the kids are going to get angry at them and never come back, or they're going to alienate their children's friends because they're asking questions. Well, when kids were growing up, did I ever say this question to them by themselves? Billy, what do you think makes a good friend? What are the qualities that make a good friend? Now, this is dinner table talk without the friends being over when they're 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. This is dinner table talk about moral, ethical, social development.
Well, this is like the list.
Yeah. So this is stuff that parents do early on in a child's growth to prepare them for how to talk, how to ask questions without being all fearful about it. It's a simple matter of inquiry. What makes a good friend? I don't know. Of course you do.
Or you know what makes a bad friend.
Then you flip it around. What makes a bad friend? Oh, well, he stole from me. Oh, what'd he steal? He took my iPhone. Yeah. Did you get it back? No. Did you talk to his parents? No. Now, if this happens when they're 16 or 17, there's some damage to repair about why aren't you protecting yourself and your stuff.
But early on, safe enough, and I suppose your website's got a little bit more of this kind of stuff on it, huh?
Oh, there's all kinds of...
Poundage.
There's all kinds of handouts for how to talk, what to talk about, things like that. That's true.
So we searched for Lou Quimby, right?
Oh, you could do that, or you could look up TA-Tutor.
Oh, well, that'd be too simple.
Oh, okay. Well, then don't do that.
Okay. Thanks for coming by, Lou.
You bet.
We'll be talking shop with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.